It's 18th. It's the 18th of January, 2015, here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. I headed towards 12 noon, about 11:38 in the morning, and renovating the office, rush, throwing out VHS tapes, old movies, everything, clearing out as much stuff as I can. Your internet pastor, PJ, here. I want to talk about exploited by the way of a lack of thesis, but I got some for you. When you find most of this generation cohabitating together, hanging out together, they do it in group because they're not institutionalized. Oh, I got to share with you a wonderful, wonderful evening that I had last night. Natural Wonders is the number playing, written by Roy Hargrove, played by the trumpeter Roy Hargrove, from an interesting album entitled Roy Hargrove with Strings. Roy, one of my favorite jazz trumpeters, one of my favorite musicians. Glad that you can join me for the webcast. Went to the Revolutionary, what's the name of the group? Let me get the name of the group so I can get that right for you. All right, so let me go get the deal. Listen to Roy a little bit, huh? I'll be right back. Yeah. It's called Young Revolutionary Poetry. How I know about this group, one of my students in the college that took a class with me last semester, at the last week of class, he told me that he was going to be appearing at Maverick's flat and on the 18th. And so this is the 19th, and so I don't know why I said January the 18th. It's January the 19th. But I went last night, and let me tell you what I saw. It was quite interesting. Listen, let me share this with you. You know why young people don't go to church? Because they got a church that they go to. The church that they go to is that they hang out in huddle groups. Now, I'm talking to those of you that want to reach these young people with the true message of God, you know, show them how to be. Oh man, didn't you just love what the Pope did? The Pope was in the Philippines, and man, he's kissing these children, and the little girl asked him, why do the little children of the Philippines have to suffer? The Pope didn't have an answer. All he could do was kiss her. I tell you, this guy is a very extraordinary man. An extraordinary man. Not that I'm, you know, believing that he is a deity in any way, but it is the iconic emblem or the figure, the thing that he stands for. I want to tell you, America is so secular. If we don't get back to something, we got to hold on to something. I'm not going to get into a big diatribe about whether the Pope is an Antichrist and all that. I don't even want to go that far. I recall back in the day when I was doing radio, there's a lot of people would try to get me involved in that kind of conversation. And I just recall telling them, man, I don't know whether he's the mark of the beast or not, but that's not even important to me now. That's not even important to me now because of the downward spiral that the church is going in and leaving its fundamentalist roots. So the church has been exploited by a lack of thesis. And what I mean by a lack of thesis is exactly that. Here I am, I'm in a nightclub, really, Maverick's flat, and various groups can rent out rooms. That's the way they run that. Various groups can rent out rooms, and then when you have those rented out rooms, you can throw your affairs up there. So the revolutionary poetry, the young revolutionary poets went up there, and it was, I want to tell you, it was quite an experience for me, because I heard Mr. Morris, one of my students, give one of he got, you know, he must have got nervous because I was there. That's the only thing that I could say. I'm the oldest guy in the room. The only other people coming in the room with white hair was the people adjusting the lights and everything else. It was a packed event. There were so many young people there. The venue was too small. But here again, it was like church. I looked around and they looked like the faces of the people that I pastored in the church back in the 80s and the 90s. A completely new generation. These are the children of the people in terms of the age group. The children of the people that I pastored. And I was quite enjoying myself. I when I'm around young people, I pick up energy from them. I guess that's what I can say. I pick up the energy. The energy is good energy because it's life. They're living. And they had, you know, there was a thing going on at the poetry gig last night. The MC was up at the mic, and he was not the DJ, because you got to get the, you know, you got to get the nomenclature right. The MC, or the master of ceremony, the one that was introducing to the people all the various things that was taking place in front of them. Well, he was telling them how to. Man, it was a rewind. They had a rewind thing that they did. I know I'm sounding a little strange, but I'm trying to pull it all back together. When you're doing your poetry, if it's not understood by some of the people in the audience, you can say rewind, and the poet would have to go back to the last line and repeat it to give an explanation of why and what he said. I found that as I was standing in the reed, leaning up against the wall, because there was absolutely nowhere to sit. I didn't get there at the beginning. And thank God I have good muscles in my legs so I can stand up and go through all that with these young people. But I began to let my spirit flow and get into what they were saying. Morse did a great little piece entitled, I Said I Wasn't Going to Write Poetry Like This Anymore. But he was really devastated about all the killings going on by the police of young black youth. And so his poem was about that, and about social activism. And there were young people just coming together, college age students. These are the ones. And I know this young man because I spoke with him in my classroom. No father, raised by his grandmother, working as a security guard, working and going to school. I mean, come on, man, struggling, putting it together. It was wonderful just to, he was so happy that I showed up. I said, man, you know I had to come out and see my student. So he was telling everybody, this was my philosophy instructor, blah, 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 blah. And so, but I had a great time last night. But if you want to reach these young people with conversations about God, I think that would be, man, I was thinking about it. I said, if I were a young man and if I wanted to reach my generation with the idea of keeping the iconic idea of God, Jehovah, not Beelzebub, not that one, not the God of this world, but God, Jehovah. This idea, you know, we know what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The human condition, I'm telling you, you need to listen to PJ. this, what is it? Is it afternoon? No, it's still morning. You need to listen to PJ this morning. If you and I do not really seriously sit down and fathom in our mind, listen to me. This is the way you do it. If you do not figure out how you are going to communicate this idea of God, you will inevitably or eventually forget him. If you do not have a solid thesis of the idea of God in your mind. Now, I know what Christianity teaches about Jesus and all of that, but I'm not talking about the white man's Jesus. I'm not talking about the Jesus of the churches, the whorings for money. I'm not talking about that. I saw the guy that calls himself the Pope over there kissing Filipino babies and all that stuff and looking with some kind of a Christian man, some kind of compassion on these people. Now, whether he's tied into the Illuminati and all that other kind of bull crap that they got going, I don't know. But I have never seen a Pope that friendly with people in my life. And I was on CNN checking out some of the other statements that he's been talking about lately. And this man is really on the cutting edge. I mean, but Catholicism needs a lift, because with all of the pedophile priests that they have in there, anything would help them. See, I'm not against, I'm just against some, child abuse. You have no business doing that. But this Pope is, and I think he needs to come down hard on that. But look at these people. Let's get back to them. If these young people are going to meet in places like poetry reads, their social outlets. I mean, they kept talking about Twitter. They kept saying, look me up on Twitter on this. How many of you have a Twitter account? And they all responded. And I said, oh my gosh, these people got their business all over the internet. I know I'm on Facebook, but I don't have all my business on the internet. Trust me. I just put interesting things up there for a day or two, and then I take it off because I don't like people knowing too much of my business. But I guess when you don't have, and I was thinking about that last night while I was in the poetry thing, if you don't have a true connection with God, well, then the thing that gives you life is your true connection with other people. Because after last night, I went to another event. I only knew one person there. So I felt kind of displaced because I was standing alone, looking alone, and I refused to go and make friends with people that I don't want to. So I turned around and went home. Came home, watched a movie, and got up and went to bed. But if you really want to reach these young people, you're going to have to slide into what they're into. They had a pretty good program, had a DJ there. Thank you. Tell the DJ to turn the music down. You can barely hear what the man is saying from the boom, boom, boom all loud in the background. But there again, that's young people again. That's young people again. And that's the way young people do their business. But I was wondering while I was there, I said, how would I engage them? Because they're so cut off. All right, let me segue into another thing. I had a young lady that used to attend my church fellowship. She came to visit me yesterday and brought me a nice crystal gift. Very nice. Very nice. And I asked her why she did it. And she said, because PJ, I love you. I'll always love you. You grew me up. You counseled me when I was going through terrible times. You've always told me the truth. You've never lied to me. you've only, and of course she came by and gave me another story of a horrendous situation between her and the person that she's living with. And I admonished her again to remove herself from that location. I said, you're doing the right thing by removing yourself. Don't. I see, when a person has theses, you know when to go. And she was asking me how I was doing. I just honestly shared with her my whole life, what's going on. And do you know why I did it? Because she told me that she yet loved me. She wasn't one of those sometimey church members. And that's what I mean. When you're a sometimey church member, you have a person in your mind set up the way you want them to be. And if they don't meet that criterion, then you're going to find somebody that's going to be, nah. That's not the way this thing works. I recall I was also having a late breakfast yesterday morning with another ex church member. I was in the city of Long Beach, and so I called my friend Reggie, and I said, I'm in Long Beach, and that restaurant is right down the street from where I am, so why don't you meet me there for breakfast? And he did. Met for breakfast. We're talking, having a good time. And he was sharing with me about how some of the members acted at his church. He attends the church where Bobby Scott is one of the pastors there. Bobby Scott and, oh, I forget the other guy's name. But he was telling me about the day when Dr. John MacArthur came to this church, I think it's in Southgate, California, to visit them, that, you know, and Reggie has MS, multiple sclerosis, so. But everybody was standing up when MacArthur was coming down the aisle, and he was telling me how surprised he was that everyone was, I mean, like, a great iconic figure was in the room. You would think that Jesus was in the room. And so someone asked him and said, why aren't you standing up? He's getting ready to pass right by you. Don't you want to stand up and see the great Mr. MacArthur? And Reggie told me at breakfast yesterday, he said, I recall what you taught me years ago, John. You taught me never, ever, including myself, never, ever worship and extol men. He said, you taught me that there's not one man better than another man on this planet, not even the Pope. I saw the way some of the Filipino people were looking at the Pope. I said, that's a shame. These people are so silly that they don't know a deity from a from a carbon deposit Homo sapien. That's all the Pope is, because that's all I am. What makes a man worthy in his own right is what that man stands for in his heart, what that man represents deep down in his heart and in his soul. For that, we can be grateful, but not to pay homage to a man. The only person that I worship is the person of God. That's the only person that I worship. All right? I personally believe that the historical figure of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was said to be born of the Virgin Mary, who was hid in Egypt for a while before his earthly parents brought him back into Palestine, I believe in the historical figure of that Jesus. I believe in his teachings. I believe in him being the atonement for man's. I mean, there's just too much in the Old Testament scriptures. I was thinking about it the other day. You know, all these people that are dying because of ISIS and all these other things, and I was thinking the other day and said, John, if they got you and really ask you, do you believe that, would you give your life up. I would have to give it up, man, because that's what kept me. This morning, let me tell you something. This morning, I got up out of bed. Can I be real with you? Can I talk with you people for real? Okay. I am 70 years old. I have friends that love me, that like me. If I need to talk with somebody, I can. But I am 70 years old, and I've been living quite a stretch. If you're 20, let's do that by 3 times plus 10, okay? I've lived 3 of your lifetimes. I've lived 3.5 of your lifetimes if you're 20 years old. Okay. So you wrap up everything that you remember and know at 20. Yeah, that's the way to put it. Wrap up everything that you know at 20. And then look at me. Now here's the problem that I'm having. I'm starting to forget the 70s. I do good up into high school, you know, junior high school, a little bit of grade school and everything. But man, the 70s, when I should have been popping and popping, that's when I was deep into getting into the person, into the historical person of Jesus Christ. See? And that's what's kept me fit all these years. That's what's kept me with the, how can I say, with the disposition that I don't need anyone else. That this same Jesus who revealed himself to me in 1967 is the same Jesus that I worship and serve during this day and age. Now, the difficulty is, how do we express this person? How do we extol him? How do we do all those things and do it correctly? How do we know that we're talking about the same man that lived 2,000 years ago? Well, that's what I'm going to do with the rest of this webcast. Gonna go to, let me see if I can get it here. See if it can make any sense. Oh, it's on the bottom of the stack. See, I'm looking for a text. And it's in the bottom of the stack. All right. I just quote it off the top of my head. Jesus said, love ye one another. Now, why would Jesus tell us to love one another? Well, of course, he knew that if we love one another, that we get along better with one another. Let's think about the persons that you don't like to be around. And let me think about that too, because I don't like to be around certain persons. And I remove myself from being around them, but I love them. If anyone would say, well, do you love this person? Yes, I love this person. Do you want to be around them? No. I don't want to be around the person because their sarcasm bugs me. It turns me off. Their what they call wit is not wit. It's wantonness, if you really get my drift. So I can love a person from a distance, but Jesus commanded to love everyone. And I'm not talking about love the person's culture, because you're to love your own thesis, your own culture. You're not supposed, I'm not talking about those idiosyncrasies, those indifferences. I'm talking about the human being. We want to be like that. That's another thing that I love about young people. They don't let race and stage in life keep them from doing what it is they need to do. I love that about them. We use the caste system in my generation. I was talking with a young man. Can you believe this? He wanted me to help him get a lavender colored suit, because he's invited to the Grammys. And I said, why do you need this lavender colored suit? He said, well, I'm going to have it made up. I'd say, but you're not famous. You're going to the Grammys. I said, if anything, you will be recognized by someone because he has a very overt a face. You would know, wow. You would look at him and say, who is that? That's the way he looks. That's why he needs the brand new suit. But I'm not going to help him get a brand new suit just to go and sit up there for one night and look crazy and pose for the cameras. No. That comes after one has put forth hard work, rigorous exercise, and restraint to save his money and so that he can do that. Talking about saving people. I was in a men's shop the other day down at the Grove, and I saw an outfit that I wanted, and I'm going to get it. And when I get some money, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to look sharp in it. Oh, and when I go out, everybody's going to know it. Now, see, that's a prideful thing, right? I know what the Bible says. The Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. But I'm not prideful that way. I just like to look good. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? That's real talk. Wait a minute. Where's my bell at? I'm not completely out of the pocket. I remember when I did things like that, I go, yeah, real talk, real talk, real talk. PJ likes to look good. There ain't nothing the matter with that. Another thing that I noticed at the poetry read, I was looking at the styles of the clothes, and it was wonderful. Everybody had their pants up because you can wear the styles. As a matter of fact, I was at a friend's yesterday, and he had this great little belt, and I said, man. And he said, it's too big for me. I can't get another hole in it there. And he lost some weight, and so I said, man, let me have it. I'm going to take it to somewhere and get it fitted because it is just an excellent belt. I love it. Or I'll go and buy one similar to it. But I love the style of the young people. They don't have to dress up. They call it this urban wear that they wear, and it's very, very high, bro, man. Walking in the office, he heard the real talk bell. Good boy, I'm going to take you walking right after I do the webcast. Don't worry about it. Bro man depends upon his daily walk down the block. If you guys got a dog, take care of him. Don't kick him. I've been feeding bro man for years. If you want to see who bro man is, you go to my main webpage, which you're already on. Scroll all the way down to the... I'm going to have to put another picture of bro man down there because he doesn't look like that anymore. I'm going to have to set him on a porch and take a picture of him with his white head instead of that red head because he's got some years on him right now. There you go, boy. So go sit down and I'll take you walking later. All right, you just want some love, right? You know, and Broman, hey, listen, Broman worries about me. Broman looks at me. He can tell when I'm depressed because I was depressed this morning, very depressed. And I just kept bowing my head, saying to God, please help me. This is rough. And you know what you have to do? You have to have a strong mind. Because depression is a killer. It's a killer. It is. And so, all praises unto God. I'm doing well. Yes, I'm doing well. Well, I'm not going to keep you all day. Go to a poetry read. I don't care how old or young you are. Go to a poetry read. Hang out with the younger generation. Yes, they fear us. They think that it's something wrong with us. Most of them that I talk to blame people my age for the corruption that the country is in. And of course, they look at me and can't figure out why I like seeing what I see in them so much. It's life. And there's so much negativity around. And I think that's what ISIS' problem is overseas over there in those countries over there killing those people. These people need to get a life, really. But when you start killing up your own people, like that. And, you know, the things that are still on my mind, thank God we haven't had any, at least that I've heard about, newsworthy, any more chokings to death. I hope these cops learn how to just do their jobs without killing folk or trying to choke folk or shoot them down. Goodness, you know, I don't want to get off on that. But when you have it's a us against them mentality, right? When you have an us against them mentality, you can expect practically anything out of anyone. Well, be good to your neighbors. It's Martin Luther King birthday. Let me say something about that. I was off already, but I'm grateful for a holiday. Let me say this. They said that in the movie, very interesting, and I haven't seen the movie, and I didn't plan to see the movie. I'll wait on it to come out on Netflix. But they said that in the movie, there's a scene there when Martin Luther King and his wife was in the offices of then FBI director J. Edgar Hoover, and he plays a tape of Martin so-called having sex with these women. And Martin says, "That's not me." And his wife said, Claretta said, "I know your voice, Martin." I think something to that degree. Well, there's a great book for you to read if you want to catch up on that and get the real scoop on it. It's by David Garrow, G-A-R-R-O-W, and it's called Bearing the Cross. Martin Luther King was a womanizer. I'm a preacher. Every preacher knew it. My preacher knew it. My pastor and my mentor knew it. He's the one that told me. And I did a webcast years ago where I pointed out that I was a dear friend of a young lad that got on the bus every morning that went to high school with my daughters. And I met his mother, who was married to the man that owned and promoted, he was one of the chief promoters of the 5-4 Ballroom on 54th and Broadway in Los Angeles. 5-4 Ballroom was one of the biggest clubs in Los Angeles when I was a young man growing up. Okay? And preachers went there, and their wives went there, and I sat down and spoke with this woman. I believe she's passed away now. And she told me that she had personal friends of hers that were married to pastors that had sex with this man on a regular basis. He would call these women, Martin would call these women and tell them to, you know, I'll be in town at this hotel, meet me there. That verified what my pastor told me. So, you know, but look at, wait a minute, I'm not talking about black people. Look at President Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Oh, we try to forget that, don't we? And George Bush, I'm talking about the second one. We know what he was, or should I say is. And quiet is kept when you get behind closed doors. You find me and everybody else doing some unscrupulous things that we never thought that we would do if we don't have our mind focused upon what is right in this world. If it's one thing that I'm going to admonish each of us to do, please protect the children. My God, they're innocent. Because so many adults seem to be plummeting their children into harm's way by how they're living these days. And that is atrocious. But anyhow, I'll wait for the movie to come out. And I'm really not. But I'm glad we have the holiday, and I hope you guys are having a grand time on this. It's a wonderful day in Los Angeles. Kind of nippy out, but comfortable. Sun's out. No cloud covers. Nice. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for believing in what I'm trying to do. Live for the goodness of God. Extol His name. Thank Him for what He's given you. Don't be rude to your fellow human being. Make life easier for some other people. Pray for all of us in this country. Because I think that we've left our first love, which is God. And looking at the weather patterns and everything else that is happening here, now it's our time to come into the way of suffering. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio on this Monday, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, saying, whatever you do, stay into the Word.